morning. Did you rest up last night? I've talked to a few people that didn't rest too good last night, but we'll try to give you some rest this morning. Do not go to sleep. I mean spiritual rest this morning. Amen. It is so good to see and glad to see your smiling faces this morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 4. A little bit of an unusual of a message this morning, one that I love to share. It's a blessing to my heart. Colossians chapter 4, I'm going to read three verses, verses 7, 8, and 9. And I'm going to tell you up front that we often read this name as Tychicus, and sometimes we'll pronounce it Tychicus, but the actual pronunciation is Tychicus. So if you hear me say Tychicus, I'm not saying it wrong, I'm actually saying it right, but like on-off switches, I'll get to preaching and forget and call him Tychicus. So it's all the same guy, all right? Notice verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage, and Lord, give us understanding of the faithfulness of this man and how you used him in ways that we may not comprehend, but were such a blessing to us thousands of years later. Lord, we pray that this time would be profitable in our lives. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Having been in the ministry for nearly 50 years, I've come to appreciate the men and women who are barely known, but absolutely essential. That's actually the title of this lesson. Barely known, absolutely essential. Those believers who serve week in and week out, they don't serve because they're seeking applause. They don't serve because they're known, and they don't serve for any other reason than they just love the Lord. They'll be serving when it's easy to serve, but they'll be the ones serving when it's hard to serve. They'll be serving when appreciated. They'll be serving if nobody knows they did what they did. They serve because they love the Lord. I believe Tychicus was such a man. We don't know a great deal about him, but what we do know supports that he was truly a servant-hearted man for the Lord. It's very likely that Tychicus was on Paul's third missionary journey as a helper to the Apostle Paul. If you'd like to, you can turn to Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read a couple of verses, verses 2 through 5. It says, "And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus." And you say, well, preacher, that's just a bunch of names and talking about travel. Well, a couple of thoughts there. Number one, traveling anywhere in these days was not easy work. You didn't just get on Highway 17 and have a nice four-lane road and make it through Raleigh and down to Charlotte to get home. It was an arduous thing. It was a dangerous thing. You walked most of the time. If you weren't walking, you sailed. Sailing was not as safe as it is these days. And it was fraught with danger. There were bandits all along the road. And the inns that you stayed in, if you could afford to stay in an inn, were not nice places. And so I'm just saying that sometimes we read over verses like this and we forget that there was a tremendous commitment, to say nothing of when you were with the Apostle Paul, you were subject to being beaten any time, in any place, on any day. So to read that Tychicus went with Paul on that third journey is saying a whole lot about his willingness to be used of the Lord, even if it was difficult. We're not sure how Tychicus got saved, but it would not be out of bounds to believe that he was saved in Ephesus on the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. And we do know that he became a dedicated servant of the Lord and a very trusted companion of the Apostle Paul, as we'll see in just a little bit. He was a real team member. And what we read of this morning gives us a little insight into how Tychicus was used of the Lord. He carried the letters that were written to Ephesus and Colossae, and especially important, he carried the letter written to a man named Philemon. Notice, if you want to, but you don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but Ephesians chapter 6 says this, "That ye also may know my affairs, how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts." Basically, the same thought that we read here in our text in the book of Colossae. So without trying to go too much further afield, let me say to you what Tychicus was charged with was this. Paul wrote a letter to Ephesus. Paul wrote a letter to Colossae. Paul wrote a letter to Philemon, a personal friend. And in those days, there wasn't a postal system like we understand. When Paul penned those letters, someone had to carry those letters to those churches. And not only carry those letters to those churches, it wasn't just a matter of reading the letter. Can I suggest to you what we're doing this morning? We're reading the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. We've read three verses, but we'll spend 30 to 40 minutes explaining those verses. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. When Tychicus took the letter to Colossae, he didn't just hand it over and say, "Here's the letter, read it." He was responsible to read and explain the letter, to provide the background behind the letter. He was actually charged with what we're doing this morning, and that is studying the letter to understand all that was meant by what Paul wrote. So Tychicus wasn't just delivering the mail. He also was charged with talking about the Apostle Paul, explaining perhaps from context what it meant. It was a very, very important job. And not only the letters to the churches, but I want you to get a hold of this. Along with taking those church letters, he was taking a personal letter to a man named Philemon. Now, we know the book of Philemon, and we know that Philemon owned servants. I don't have time to explain all that, but he owned servants, and one of those servants had run away. And Onesimus had run away from Philemon, made his way to Rome, whether on purpose or not, we don't know, to meet with the Apostle Paul, but we do know that he met up with the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul led Onesimus to the Lord. Onesimus now is transformed to a very useful servant of the Lord, not just a servant in service to a master, but a servant to the Lord. And Paul writes a letter to Philemon and says, "Listen, I want you to receive Onesimus back, but receive him back differently than when he was there. He's now a brother, and he's useful in the ministry." And Tychicus has the job of taking Philemon with him, with that letter, and approaching Philemon with that letter and with that understanding and with Onesimus. Now again, it's hard for us to grab the context of that. But Tychicus is walking into a house of a man who has been wronged, at least in the context of the day, and he is presenting this letter to Paul with explanation. In my mind's eye, I see Philemon just outside the door, hoping that Tychicus does a real good job with this, and that he explains it in such a way that Philemon grasps what God is doing in his life and wants to do through his life. And so when I say Tychicus took the letters and delivered the letters, it's hard to explain the eternal value that what this man did. He's not a pastor. I don't think we would even refer to him as a preacher or an evangelist. He's what Paul outlines him to be in just a moment, a faithful man of God who does whatever task is given to him to do, and he does it for the glory of the Lord, and God greatly uses it. That's what I want you to see this morning. And to do that, let's just notice how Paul outlines for us who Tychicus is. Because though we barely know his name, he is absolutely essential to New Testament, the truth of New Testament, the New Testament word, but he's also become absolutely essential in our lives thousands of years later, and we barely know his name. Notice what Paul tells us about this man, Tychicus. Go back to verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you. Now notice how Paul describes him. He's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. And he's a fellow servant in the Lord. Let's think about those. Tychicus is a beloved brother. The fact that Tychicus knew the Lord made him a brother. But his love for the Lord and his love for the Apostle Paul made him a beloved brother. That word beloved carries with it a real sense of brotherly affection. It's not just brotherhood that is formed by association, but it's formed by fire and by common experience. Tychicus was a beloved brother of the Apostle Paul, not just because he was saved, but because since he was saved, he has traveled with and served with and served alongside of the Apostle Paul. They have faced dangers together. They have faced hardship together. It's my personal belief that Tychicus was one with Luke, maybe a couple of others, that actually made that journey from Jerusalem to Rome. And Tychicus more than likely suffered that shipwreck along with the Apostle Paul and now ministers to him in prison in Rome as these letters are being written and sent out. And so what I'm saying is Tychicus wasn't just a guy in a church somewhere that Paul knew and they appreciated the fellowship they had when they were together. Tychicus was a committed friend to the Apostle Paul. And through these shared experiences and through the suffering that they faced, they had become incredibly close to the point where he was a beloved brother. His friendship was, again, not just forged by some fellowship over coffee. His friendship was forged through hardship and through real commitment to being a friend to the Apostle Paul. Our closest friends, our closest bonds, our greatest commitments should be to one another in our local church family. Can I bemoan something as an older man? We have lost, I think, an understanding of the necessity and importance of a local church and a spiritual family in our lives. We have degraded the importance of assembling together. And again, I know I'm speaking as an old man. Forgive me for old manism, okay? But our fellowships have become so surface. They've become so self-oriented. We So much of our generation today go to church self-servingly. I want something, I want to get something. I'm going for a reason for self. A church ought to minister to the needs of the people that come to that church. But I fear that we've lost the sense of going to church to serve. And going to a church where we actually forge bonds with a spiritual family. I observe so many times that people barely make it in time for the service and run immediately out after the service. And look, I'm not trying to be adversarial. I'm not trying to be provocative. I know there are times where I have to do that. I understand that. But I am saying that there ought to be a commitment to that spiritual family. Other than our home life, our closest friends ought to be our church family. Other than our home commitment and relationship, the closest relationships we have ought to be those people that we serve the Lord with in our church. I say this, and again, I'm not trying to be provocative, but one of the things I thanked the Lord for, it took a while to do that. It took my wife a little longer than for me. But one of the things I thanked the Lord for was that he moved me 1,000 miles from both of our families to plant a church. You say, well, that sounds very harsh. How could you not want to be around your family? It wasn't that I didn't want to be around my family, but sometimes when we have a circumstance like that, we don't understand the value of our church family. And our church family became our family. Our closest, our kids had 500 grandmas and grandpas. It was great. Ask them. Our closest friendships became those people that we served the Lord with. We, at our church in Heritage, and I'll give examples from that because it's all I know. Our first building that we built was a multi-purpose building. We built a gymnasium that we had church in. And as we grew, we had a school, and as we grew, we had to set up 600 chairs in our gymnasium auditorium, and we had to do it 3 or 4 times a week. We had to take it down for phys ed, set it back up, had to take it down for Wednesday night, take it down for school on Thursday, set it up Saturday for Sunday, and all that. And you think, man, 600 chairs, bringing the pulpit out, doing all of that. It was a lot of work. And we did it for 17 years. And after 17 years, after building some educational buildings, we could build an auditorium. And I want you to know what I'm about to say is absolutely the truth. I had a number of men, to include a couple of deacons, saying, preacher, we're really concerned. But because we have come to value the time of working together to set up the gymnasium, that we're going to miss that fellowship. What can we do to replace the fellowship that we've gained over years? We called it the chair ministry. And they loved it. Now, I'm not trying to be silly. I'm just saying that sometimes we miss the importance of being with each other, working with each other in the simplest of things. Well, I don't get to serve the Lord because I don't get to teach the class. Some of the greatest ways of serving the Lord are with a man like Tychicus, who probably very rarely stood behind a pulpit. I don't know that he ever had a connection group that he taught. He delivered letters. He assisted Paul in prison. And to be honest with you, if Paul wouldn't have written about him in this letter, we wouldn't even know that he had done any of that. And yet his value in our life is incredible. I'm just saying to you, don't run out when the final amen is said. See if you can't be a minister to someone. Look and see if there's somebody moving a chair somewhere that you could be of help. See if there's somebody working in the kitchen, cleaning up. See if you couldn't go help in cleaning up. You say, well, I've got my own stuff to do. We all do. Anybody in here not busy? I ask that question everywhere. I've never had anybody respond, nope, not a thing to do in the world. We're all busy. We've all got places we ought to go. But we miss something in our lives when we do not make ourselves part of being that faithful servant in a local church. And Paul says, boy, that took it because he was a beloved brother because he just shared in all of the work. Notice what he says. Secondly, he says he was a faithful minister. Paul identifies Tychicus as faithful. And I've preached here a number of times, and I think I've said to you, and if I haven't, I'll say it again. To me, one of the highest Christian virtues, I know love, I know all of that, but one of the highest Christian virtues that I appreciate, faithfulness. I love people who are faithful in their marriages. I love people who are faithful to teach their class. I love people who are faithful to study the Word of God. I love people who can be counted on in the ministry of the church. To me, it's one of the highest commendations that anybody can ever receive. They are seen to be faithful. What Paul is actually saying is that Tychicus was trustworthy. If the Lord commanded something to be in a believer's life, you would find Tychicus practicing what the Lord commanded. If Tychicus said he would be there, do that, take care of that, Paul didn't have to give it a second thought. Tychicus was trustworthy. I believe it meant that Tychicus was there when he was supposed to be there. He was on time. He stayed late. He did whatever needed to be done without having to be prodded, without having to be encouraged, without having to be applauded. He was just a faithful minister. He was simply trustworthy, available. Not only was Tychicus faithful, but I noticed this. Paul said he was a faithful servant. I love the word that God chose to use for servant. You know, there's so many words. We'll use another one here in just a moment. He could have used doulos, a bondservant. He'll use that in a minute. He could have used other words that spoke of different kinds of service. But the word that God chose here, Tychicus was a faithful minister. He was a trustworthy diakonos. It's the word from which we get our word deacon. He's just saying that Tychicus ministered like a deacon. He was willing to be an attendant. He was willing to be a waiter. He was willing to run errands. Now, those are not words that I chose to describe a deacon. Those were taken directly from Mr. Strong's concordance. He said the word diakonos means that he's an attendant. Early on in my life, my first job was one of my first jobs was I was a gas station attendant. What a lofty position that was. You would pull in and I would come out and pump your gas. And back in those days, you remember before the flood, we actually washed your windshield and checked your oil and looked at your tires. That was my job. And quite frankly, I loved it. I enjoyed it. I loved to meet people and loved the smell of gasoline all over me and, you know, dirty fingernails and so on. I was an attendant. And Paul says, you know, one of the things I love about Tychicus, he's willing to pump gas. He'll clean windshields. He'll even check your oil. Paul says that word means he's a waiter. We don't call them waiters anymore. We call them servers and so on, and I understand that. And quite frankly, it's one of the hardest jobs in the world. Please tip them. They make next to nothing. And yet they take care of us. They wait on us. He says that not only was he a waiter, he was willing to run errands. We call that today a gopher. You know, I had a job in college, in Bible college, where a man gave me a job. He was a construction worker, and I didn't know anything about construction. I was honest with him. I helped him through English, and he helped me get a job. And I said, I know nothing about it. And he said, do you know what a 2x4 is? And I said, well, probably. I'm not positive, but probably. He said, well, what I need you to do is go for those 2x4s. And I became his gopher. And what he said he needed, I went and got and brought it back and brought it back. And that was my job. I was a gopher. Tychicus is described as a guy who's willing to run errands. It excites me. Let me tell you about one of the errands that he ran. We just learned that Paul handed him the letter to Colossae and the letter to Philemon and the letter to Ephesus. And he said, Tychicus, I want you to deliver these letters for me with explanation. Now, just listen to me for a moment. Tune in on this. For Tychicus to do that, those letters were written while Paul was in prison in Rome, and Tychicus was in Rome while Paul was in prison trying to minister to Paul. That would have required to take the letter to Colossae. It would have required him to walk 360 miles on the Appian Way from Rome to the port city of Brundisium. 360 miles in those days was an arduous journey and a dangerous journey. When he got to Brundisium, he would have boarded a ship to go to Corinth. That ship would have crossed for 353 miles the Adriatic Sea, and provided they made it, he would have gotten off there and gone from the Gulf of Corinth to the city of Lechium, and that was the harbor of Corinth. Then he and Onesimus, who was traveling with him, would have walked the 8 miles across the Isthmus of Corinth to their ship that was drug across the Dialcus, and then they would have re-embarked on that ship at Cenchrea, and they would have sailed over to the northwest corner of the Sarconic Gulf. See, I don't know where any of those are. Well, they're over there. They would have finally arrived in Miletus after 250 more miles of sailing. And from Miletus, they would have taken a 6-mile ferry ride across the Gulf of Latmos to the city of Preene. And there they would have gotten on the Roman road through the Meanders Valley to the Lycus Valley and the Tri-City area of Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Colossae. And there he would have read the letters to the church at Colossae and explained the letters, and there he would have gone to the house of Philemon and pleaded with Philemon the heart of the Apostle Paul about Onesimus. And then he would have proceeded to Ephesus. And by the way, he would have had to run up to Laodicea because he was instructed to read some of the letters to that church as well. We barely know his name. We don't even really know how to pronounce his name. But he hazarded his life. And today, because that man took that journey of thousands of miles, taking that runaway slave with him to go back home, because of that, we open our Bibles and we read that glorious letter to the Ephesians, where we learn that we are predestinated to become like Jesus Christ. We open that book and we read the book of Colossians and we see that great truth of Christ and who he is, and we learn of things about Christology that we would be so lacking without that letter. And we read that precious letter written to Philemon, where a slave is welcomed back into home and accepted as a brother. What a great service Tychicus did for us. Not only that, but it says that he was a fellow servant in the Lord. Again, back in verse 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. Here, Paul uses a different word for servant. He said he's a minister, a diakonos. Now he says he's a fellow servant, and he uses the word doulos. That word doulos, Paul often used about himself, and he said, I'm a bondservant. I'm a bondservant for the Lord. I want you to understand what that carries with it as a thought. The bondservant we might understand as an indentured servant. He would bind himself, usually because of debt. He would say, I will serve you for 7 years because I engaged and have a debt that I cannot pay by cash. I will work for you and work off that debt. And when Paul says, I'm a bondservant to the Lord, what he is saying is, I've got a debt so great that I'm serving my Lord to try to pay back a debt that can never be paid back. You know the debt that he owed? That day on the Damascus Road when the Lord Jesus stopped him by that blinded light and saved that wretched Pharisee's heart, and he was transferred from Saul to Paul. Paul said, how do you pay that? How do you pay a debt like that? And he said, the only way that you can pay a debt like that is to bond yourself to the Lord and serve him all the days of your life. And here's what I want you to grab. He's saying, that's the same attitude that Tychicus has. Oh, I applaud the Apostle Paul for being a bondservant, but whoever knew that Tychicus had the same problem? He's a bondservant. He'd gotten saved out of a life of sin like you and I. And he just understood that, look, my name may never be known like Paul's name is known. I may never be known as the great missionary, but I owe the same debt. And I'm willing to serve the Lord that saved me, and I'll be a fellow servant with you, Paul. I owe a debt too. Hey, do you remember where God got you? Remember when the Lord saved you? One of the things that I'm grateful for, and I want to be careful how I say this, I was not saved as a child. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was a young father and a husband, and I'm not saying that we were wicked people, but we were worldly people, and we were lost, and God saved my wife and I. And I'm glad in my life there is that point where I know what the Lord did for me. And what it does in my life is reminds me of how much I owe him. It is so easy for us as believers to, after many years, to think that the Lord somehow got a bargain when he got us, and he didn't get a bargain when he got us. But for the grace of God, where would we be? What would we do? And I don't care whether you serve the Lord 10 years, 20 years, 30 or 50 years. That's a debt that is never paid off. And Paul just said, here's the realization I've made with my life. I will serve you all the days of my life. I will bond myself to you because what you have given to me is so great that all of my service, to include my life, could not pay you for what you've given me. Amen. May you and I understand that about ourselves this morning. That we are in debt to the Lord. And listen, I don't mean that we can give a big offering and that pays it off. What I mean is we owe him the days of our lives. And that's who Tychicus was. Tychicus just understand, look, I'm not a theologian like the Apostle Paul. I'm not gifted to write the books of the Bible that Paul wrote. I could never write that letter, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can carry that letter. I can carry that letter 360 miles on this Appian Way and dodge bandits and Roman soldiers and all the difficulties of the road. I can get on that ship. Brother Barry wasn't sailing that ship. I don't know who was sailing it, but I know they were up and down like this. But I can get on that ship, puke over the side, and get this letter over there. You say, preacher, that was a little uncouth. Well, I'm just telling you, sometimes you puke. And he didn't let that stop him. Man, I don't know how I'm going to present this to Philemon. God's going to have to be with me when I do this because I want him to receive Onesimus. And no doubt he got on his face before God and said, God, please use me. That's what took him. Three thoughts and I'm done. Here's number one in conclusion. Small things done for the Lord are great. Small things done for the Lord are great. I am told, and brother, you could tell us better than any. I am told that these great ships are directed by a simple rudder. And the rudder is worked by something called a pintle, a small piece of iron, a small bolt. And if that bolt is not present, or if that bolt breaks, that great ship with all of its power and that great rudder with its great ability can't work. And that's who Tychicus was. He was the guy that just made it work. What's the use of writing the letter if you can't get it delivered? What's the use of these great thoughts if they're never delivered to the people who need to get them into their hearts? And all I'm saying is sometimes we count what we do as so little, so insignificant, and we miss how it is part of the whole. There'll be ladies today who set out food. I'm very grateful for ladies who set out food. It's very precious to me, you can tell. What difference does it make? An enormous difference. It allows for Friend Day to go forward in a way that we understand fellowship, in a way that we can understand and be with each other. But if nobody sets the food out and nobody cooks the food and nobody brings it in, we have a great dinner. We drink a glass of wine. Somebody's working in the nursery right now. God bless them. Nobody knows who it is. I don't know who it is. You know because you know them. But the smallest things become of the greatest value when they're viewed in the ministry of the whole. Here's number two, quick. Our work for the Lord has spiritual value. When Tychicus was caring for the Apostle Paul in the Lord, his work was just care. You moved stuff, you brought stuff, you just did whatever was necessary to allow the apostle to stay focused on his writing of the word, his preaching of the word. And his journey of 1,000 miles would have been noteworthy, but no one would have thought, well, that's a spiritual work, but it is a spiritual work. We're reading Colossae today, the book of Colossians today, because he delivered it. And then I'd say this, temporal things done for Christ are eternal. How astonished Tychicus would have been if anybody had told him that those three precious letters in his bag would outlast all the pomp of all those cities, and that his name, because his name was written in those letters, would be known to the end of all time all over the world. Tychicus. Again, I'm not trying to be gross. I'm not trying to be silly. Tychicus. Tychicus, I need you to take these letters. I need you to read them. There'll be some explanation that is needed. You're going to have to make known what we're doing and what we're saying. And Tychicus, it's essential that you spend time with Philemon and make him to understand my heart towards Onesimus. Okay. And he puts them in his bag. 360 miles. I try to walk 10,000 steps each day. You know, some of us do. My feet hurt. My body hurts. It's hard to find 360 miles on the Appian Way. Up and down, over and around. Flea bitten ends are sleeping out under the sun. Brundisium, you get on a ship and you go over the sea, Adriatic Sea, and man, I don't know, maybe they were 1 foot swells, but maybe they were 4 or 5 foot swells at time. And I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to be gross, but I'm just believing that Tychicus spent some time leaning over that ship thinking, oh God, take me home. You ever been seasick? Ooh, it's a horrible sick. And then you land and you walk across Corinth, and then you land and you walk through Asia, and you keep walking and walking, and you wonder, what's the value of what I'm doing? He didn't know what we know. But what he did made all the difference in the world and our lives. And that's what I'm saying to you. Let's value what God gives us to do, because though we may be barely known, what God gives us to do is absolutely essential in the work of the local church. Be part of it. It'll make an incredible difference in the lives that this church touches.